The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and I think joining us by phone is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. Janet, you there?
I am here. Yeah. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Are you driving now?
I am driving. I'm on my way to do a presentation for the Jupiter Seniors Group, and so I'm on the turnpike, on the way.
All right. I have some interesting topics to go over, but I want to start with something that our engineer at the radio station just told me. And it's partially what mainstream medicine is recommending. I guess it did give him a choice. It was a letter his doctor gave him from Aetna, which is his insurance, that said that he should be on a statin drug because of pre-diabetes. And then you have to check off a box. One is I'm already on it. I don't want to be on it. I don't agree with the literature. Maybe there was another box he was saying that perhaps he doesn't meet the criteria to be on a statin drug. But I think here's a good example where the insurance companies are overstepping their bounds, in my opinion, to trying to now tell the doctors how to practice medicine.
And also the
patients, how should they get treated?
It's a very, very disturbing development, and you see it time and time again. This is a very flagrant overstepping of the bounds.
Well, the American Diabetes Association, I had a second to look into this. What their position is that individuals with diabetes and other cardiovascular risk factors should have their LDL below 100 and perhaps even ideally below 70.
Oh, my goodness.
And therefore, that's why they're recommending statin drugs. And they say statin drugs should be added to lifestyle therapy regardless of baseline lipid levels for diabetic patients. So I guess regardless of where your cholesterol levels are, you should take a statin drug. So
it's very, very interesting because let's talk about on occasion I see people whose cholesterol levels, HDL, LDL, are all within the bounds that their physician finds acceptable, but their triglycerides are not very well within range or possibly just touching the high level of normal range. And then you look at some other numbers in their blood test sheet, and what you get is that they're over-consuming processed carbohydrates. And there's very, very simple, natural, effective approaches to dealing with those numbers without seeking out a pharmaceutical that comes with it a number of really negative side effects. So I'm thinking about using carnitine, an amino acid that's very, very reasonable to use to lower triglycerides, increasing fiber intake, lowering processed carb intake, possibly considering using fish oil. So those are some of the reasonable approaches I'm going to be speaking on digestion this morning, and so to add a digestive enzyme, very, very helpful as well. Dr. Slavin, what do you think?
I agree. There is, in my opinion, well, not just my opinion. This is published data that the group that only benefits from statins is, in other words, Laurie, let me just preface this by saying statins will lower cholesterol in any group, but that's not your goal. The goal is not lowering cholesterol. Your goal is to lower the incidence of heart disease and heart attacks and strokes. And the only group that actually benefits by taking a statin is that a group of middle-aged men with hypercholesterolemia. You know, you can lower cholesterol in the other groups, but you have to understand that cholesterol is not the reason why people are having heart attacks, because if it was, then people with normal cholesterol levels wouldn't be having heart attacks, and they make up 50% of the incidence of heart attacks in the studies that have been performed. They just happen to overlook that. So another reason, I guess, to question the information you're getting. But more importantly, there's no such thing as a statin deficiency. I think that's the point. If you want to get healthy, then you have to change your diet, because it's your diet that's making you unhealthy.
Okay, and Dr. Slavin, it isn't your overconsumption of fat that is contributing to cholesterol levels that are unacceptable to the physician, but the carbohydrates, the sugar, the artificial sweeteners, processed food, improperly fried food. And when I'm talking about improperly fried, those foods that are fried in oils that have been heated and cooled and heated and cooled. And when the other part of it is the French fries that are possibly not necessarily what we would assume the French fries are made from, that it isn't just potatoes that have been sliced up and then fried. There's more processing and a number of different ingredients in addition to the potatoes.
No, that's exactly right. What I was looking for, and I was just wondering, is there any collusion between health insurance and drug companies? And I think the answer is yes. And they're not being stopped because they don't apply the Antitrust Act to healthcare, at least up until now they don't. So I think there's some reason to be concerned about what's happening with the connection between drug companies and health insurance companies.
Certainly a very, very critically important issue that does deserve some investigation. Very sad. One of the things you were talking about, Dr. Slavin, is the idea of using cholesterol-lowering drugs. The focus of that drug use should theoretically be the reduction in heart disease and death from heart attack. But one of the statements made by Dr. Julian Whitaker, and he is very much in the realm of functional medicine now and runs a wellness clinic in Southern California. What he has said is you look at the timing of the introduction of cholesterol-lowering drugs and then the incidence of sudden death from heart failure, and possibly because so many people are using the statin class drugs without compensating for the interruption of coenzyme Q10 production, that so much of the heart muscle is deficient in CoQ10 that it just ultimately fails to function. So, we're told that this is statin drug use to help with heart health, and indeed it may be going the other way. The other thing to consider is rhabdomyolysis. We have talked about that a great deal. That is the destruction of muscle tissue. And what is your heart but the, I'm going to say, the most important muscle in your body? Dr. Flavin?
That's correct, and that's one of the dangers of using statins. But they're overlooking the real issue. If you're talking about health, a lot of the research these days is pointing to the mitochondria, which is the areas in the cell where energy is created. And if you're eating a high carbohydrate diet, you're having a negative impact on these mitochondria. And that's why we see associated with high carbohydrate diets a higher incidence of heart disease, cancer, diabetes. So you have to really look into it. And lowering, I think many people take a statin drug and they think now that's they have a a free pass to eat whatever they want, because now that the cholesterol is normal, they've artificially lowered it with a drug, but they haven't changed their diet. Jen, last week I was listening to one of the news shows, and they made a comment that made me look into this a little bit more and see if you can guess. They made a comment about wine. They said basically, I think most people look at wine as maybe an okay beverage because of its rich antioxidant content, like resveratrol. But they've uncovered a problem in wine that has recently plagued other foods as well. Do you know what they were talking about, Janet?
Possibly sulfites.
That's another problem, but no, not in this one. All right, I'll give you a hint. The other foods that it's plagued are apple juice and rice.
Arsenic.
Yeah, they're finding arsenic in the wine. I said, boy, that's that one I hadn't heard. You know, it's just, really amazing how many toxins we're being exposed to. You know, over the last, say, months or so, they've been talking about Flint, Michigan, with the lead poisoning of so many people and other cities around the country. Now they're saying that it could be a very common problem throughout in water supplies, but now we have the wine. But it was interesting, when I looked into wine and how it's made, they use a lot of ingredients, because you would think that wine is just fermented grapes, wouldn't you? That's what I thought. When we come back, we'll talk about what else is used to make wine besides grapes. But right now we have to take a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and with me today is Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Current medical treatment addresses problems and symptoms when your ship of health has gone aground, hit the shoals of disease, so to speak. Now, advanced medical testing helps to guide you through the stormy seas of disease. The information from high-tech lab tests such as Doctor's Data, SpectraCell, Cleveland Heart Lab, Access, Health Diagnostics Laboratory, and Genova. These advanced tests assist you and your doctor to navigate the treacherous waters of disease development. Call 754-216-2332 to find out more. Or visit amtcenters.com.
Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor, offers remote counseling sessions. She'll work with you to help you manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She'll help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. Sessions are offered via telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she'll provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at janetcimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and with us today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. And before the break, we switched topics, talking about arsenic. Arsenic is a heavy metal associated with many serious diseases, including cancer and death. But we're talking about arsenic in wine. And, of course, the wine industry says, well, it's naturally found in wine. Nothing unusual about that, just like it's naturally found in rice and in apple juice. But here's some of the other things they put into wine that you may not know about. Because I thought, I don't know, Janet, what did you think? You said, all right, we know that it's grapes that are fermented. And you mentioned the sulfur, which is used to kill bacteria and prevent oxidation. And yes.
I have a question. Uh-huh. We very often talk about the importance of choosing organic, and I am wondering if the arsenic is coming from a pesticide, herbicide, fungicide application, and not necessarily a substance that is naturally occurring in wine. When we analyze all of the trace minerals, arsenic is one of them. So in trace amounts, it is not going to be a big issue. But when it is applied to a crop, then it becomes an issue. So where are we? Is this commercial wine? Is this specific wine like California, French wine? What are the details?
Well, I think this article was focusing on California wine.
Uh-huh.
But, but what was an eye-opener to me was all the ingredients that they use in wine. For example, besides the sulfur you mentioned, ammonium salts are put in there, and they say that's to revive dying yeast and keep it from producing too much sulfur. So I don't, you know, some of this doesn't make sense. You put sulfur in, but then you don't want the yeast to produce too much sulfur. Then, if the alcohol content is too high in the wine, they added water to it. They also, use oak adjuncts, not just the oak barrels that they sometimes put wine in, but they may add in a oak chips or sawdust essence. I guess it gives it a certain taste. They may use tartaric acid. They say it's naturally occurring acid found in grapes, but it's particularly critical in white wine because it gives it its tartness flavor. Then they may add tannins to it, although they're naturally present in grape skins and seeds. They may add tannin. It has to do with texture and astringency. If grapes aren't ripe enough when picked, they may add cane or beet sugar to help them ferment. And they have fancy names for this stuff. So adding sugar is called chaptalization. And it happens to be illegal in California, Italy, and Australia. It's legal in New Zealand, Oregon, and parts of France, though allowed amounts vary. And there's some more to this list, but I just want our listeners to think about this. If you ever look at a label on a bottle of wine, they never list the ingredients because they don't have to. Pectic enzymes, they put that in there to alter color, improve clarity, release aromatic compounds, speed up aging. Gum arabic, this can make a tough or somewhat bitter red wine ready to drink immediately. Velcorin, which is dimethyl dicarbonate. It's this microbial control agent can kill a half dozen wine-ruining bacteria and yeast when added in minute quantities. It's also used widely in fruit juices. What does it do to our digestive tract bacteria? And then mega purple. You can guess what that is. That's to enhance the color of the wine. Just a few drops can in a bottle of wine can really change the color from a salmon blush to an appealingly intense crimson. So two things. Wine is very manipulated, and the labels don't have to show anything about what they're doing to the wine. You know, I say, you know, they may, you know, the wine industry may say, well, this is fine, nothing dangerous going on there. So why are they against labeling it on their bottles?
Just one more reason to choose organic.
Probably a better choice. I'm not sure that they may do all the other things to organic, but I'm not sure. I'll have to look into that. So we started off talking about, the reason I brought that up is when I was looking into arsenic in wine, I came across all these other things that are done to wine. So it's easy to say, okay, arsenic is a heavy metal. It's a poison. It's something to be avoided. You can get it from contaminated drinking water because it's used in so many areas of industry that it work its way into the groundwater. It's found in pesticides, like you mentioned, wood preservatives, ceramic enamels, paints, tobacco. There may be as much as 6 micrograms of arsenic per pack. If you're burning fossil fuels, arsenic is released. It's found in moonshine, which is homemade whiskey. But the concern for all of us is what happens when you have accumulations of arsenic in your body. It'll affect your digestive tract, increase your risk of heart issues. It can change, cause abnormal electrocardiograms, including arrhythmias. It can be associated with gangrene of the extremities. Also increase the risk of respiratory tract problems as well as kidney problems. Also been associated with high blood pressure, peripheral vascular disease. And I bring this up because these are very common symptoms associated with other heavy metals as well. So I mentioned earlier, you know, lead has been in the news a lot. You get these symptoms from lead. You'll get them from cadmium as well, and mercury. So the next question I have is, why aren't doctors checking for heavy metals more often and in the correct way?
Unfortunately, you mentioned in the correct way, pretty frequently the doctors would be testing blood, and indeed the levels of these heavy metals, though they may be present in very small amounts in the blood, and there are reference ranges that might have a physician conclude, well, you're in an acceptable range, it's not a problem, and so your digestive problems, your neurological problems, circulatory problems, all of those things must be due to the fact that you are not taking a cholesterol-lowering drug.
Now, the reason these heavy metals, well, at least one of the reasons they're toxic is because they compete with nutrient minerals that are essential to how our bodies function. So, for example, with mercury, it blocks the body's ability to use selenium, and selenium is important in so many processes that go on in the body. Now, where do we get mercury from? Well, we know that fish can cause it. We know that, although the American Dental Association disagrees, that you're putting mercury in the mouth, they say it's perfectly safe, although they have to dispose of it as a biohazardous waste. So I don't know how they reconcile the two. You can get it from the environment, you know, in areas where you have coal-burning power plants, for example, The mercury gets into the environment, and then it works its way back into the water supply. So a lot of different ways. And you have to be aware that some of the problems associated with mercury include peripheral neuropathy. We see a lot of that. And I guess the point I'm going to is you have to check, and I mentioned earlier, the right kind of testing. Just one other thing. If you have elevated mercury levels in your body, you might have abnormal heartbeat, you know, tachyarrhythmias, high blood pressure. You know, how many people have high blood pressure? And it's not just one cause for it. It could be multiple causes, and heavy metal toxicity may be part of it. Of course, you're not interested in any of this if your approach is just to prescribe a drug instead of looking into why the person has the cardiac arrhythmia. You know, you go to a doctor with a heart arrhythmia, they give you the big workup to see if they can do some bypass or angioplasty, or else just put you on drugs instead of figuring out why you're experiencing this. High blood pressure, the same thing. You know, with lead, lead is particularly a problem in kids well associated with learning disabilities. So how many kids are being checked for lead? Now, I've alluded to the right way to check, and it's not with a blood test because these heavy metals do not stay in the blood. You're not going to find them there. So you do a chelation challenge test, which is provocative, to try and loosen these toxins from the tissues where they're being stored and trying to get an idea of just how much is in the body. Now, lead also associated with joint pain, muscle pain, a decline in mental functioning, you know, like dementia, you know, memory loss. You know, how many people maybe with, you know, Alzheimer's maybe have an overaccumulation of lead? Now, if I haven't gotten your attention yet, if you're a young male associated with a reduced sperm count, but, you know, nobody's looking into the causes of these problems. They just look into the treatments that will generate income for them instead of worrying about how to make the patient healthier. And how about cadmium? You know, that is another toxic metal. It can affect basically every area of your body, including, you know, causing heart disease, cancer, and diabetes. part of the reason it's so toxic, it displaces zinc. And we know zinc is very important for so many functions in the body. Now, it doesn't stay in the blood. It concentrates in the kidney, the liver, and other organs, and is considered more toxic than either lead or mercury. And when we come back, I'll go over where you're getting exposed to cadmium. But right now, it's time for another break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. With us today is Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist, and we'll be back right after this.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Herbert Slavin and Janet Cimarelli. They're located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find them on the web at advancedmedicaltesting.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience. Clean, comfortable, and efficient. They guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest prices. They test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. They draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostics, Simulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call them today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-4991, to learn all about the services offered at the Institute. Services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com to learn more.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin, and joining me today is Janice Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist. We're talking about heavy metals. Heavy metals are poisons, and they include cadmium, arsenic, mercury, and lead. But there are others. But these are the common ones and commonly found in our environment, and we accumulate them in our bodies. It's believe it or not, it's a lot more common than you would think. And the reason you don't know why it's so common is because nobody tests for it. And it's increasing in its incidence is increasing because we're exposed to it more and more. And of course, in combination to exposure to cadmium and our lack of zinc in our diets, you know, then it takes on a whole different risk. Now, here's why it was important for you to pay attention in high school when you went to chemistry class and saw the periodic table of the elements. Because when you look at it, you look at these heavy metals that are there, and you look at the other minerals that are in the same column, what you'll see are these nutrient minerals that are being displaced by the heavy metals because they're in the same column. Now, they use cadmium to coat iron, steel, and copper. It's also used in copper alloys, a stabilizer in rubber and plastics. It's used in cigarette paper. It's used in fungicides and a lot of other products. And because of this widespread use, it's finding its way into the water, the air, and the food. And then we're exposed to it. You're even getting, you know, we talk about